You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Amen. Thanks, Carrie. You may be seated. It's good to be here today, right, guys? Right? Good. Man, it's good to see you all. We missed you guys. It was like the third week, and Titus is like, "Dad, are we ever going back to Shelter?" I mean, the boys were just chomping to get back. They missed you guys. We all did. And man, I just can't thank you enough for the time that you extended to us and the gift that you gave us in allowing us to kind of pull the plug and just try to, you know, collect ourselves and focus on each other, and that's what we did. I did have this preconceived idea that when one goes on a sabbatical, you know, they get holed up in some monastery or some cave or something like that, you know, and they begin to journal and write and begin to, like, you know, just do what monks do, you know. I just thought somehow tied sabbatical to, like, kind of being a, you know, something like that. I realized that headed down 75 to Florida on a 16-hour trip with seven people in the car for 16 hours, that was not going to be the kind of sabbatical I thought it was going to be. You guys with me this morning? So, but nonetheless, it was good to get with the family and do what we did, the things that we did, the things that we were able to do, and I want to thank you guys for all of that. If you're here for the first time, we just want you to know that we're honored that you're here. And we're thankful that you're here, and we hope you feel welcome. And it's not always like this in that, you know, I've been gone for 3 months, so that's why they've got food out there and all that. Although we do the food thing sometimes, don't we? So anyways, guys, good to be back. I want to just thank the staff and all of those that volunteer and are part of our staff that covered for me. I want to thank Chris and Judy, and I want to thank Ashton, and I want to thank Beck and Josh, Lee and Mark, Bernice and Chad, and the Expression pastors and the church leadership for what you did for me and my family and I. Is that fair? So give them all a big hand. Would you do that? Thank you so much. We appreciate you. So today what I want to do is I want to share three stories out of Scripture, and another story that I heard 2 weeks ago visiting at another church. And by the way, it was great. Every weekend, we were able to go to different churches and do different things and just see what different people are doing, right? And kind of connect in that way. And you know, it was just a great experience to be able to do that. And so the two stories I want to share, two of the three today, are out of the Scriptures, out of the Bible. And in that, these are two that I cut my teeth on, okay? And then the one story is really from a message that I heard 2 weeks ago, and all three of these relate in some odd way. It seems it's going to seem a little disjointed than normal, but it all kind of comes together. So that's what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you today, all right? It's just how this and how these stories all come together to pick up this one point, this idea of getting into the flow of God, stepping into the flow of God. And what I want to say is I know what it means to be in the flow, and I know what it means to be out of the flow. You guys here with me today? All right? Out of the flow, meaning you're just in terms of life and in terms of trying to figure things out, you know, trying to live life, you're outside of the flow of God, and it feels like you're swimming upstream. You guys here with me today? Right on, Ryan. Say right on, Ryan. Right? And the struggle and the darkness and sometimes the things that we go through, right? And it's not necessarily because of bad choices. It's not always because of bad choices. Sometimes it's just a season in life that you go through. And not only is it a season in our own personal lives, but sometimes it's a season in life, in the life of a church, right? Where the church just kind of over time, just like we do individually and personally, kind of step out of maybe the flow, right? And so what I want to share and the overarching theme of today's message is getting into the flow. And what I mean by that is the flow of God, the flow of His Spirit, the flow in which, and truly, it's like a, if you guys ever heard of a jet stream, right? A jet stream. Now, let me just say this. A jet stream. Some of you guys that are in the aircraft business like Chris Jackson and others, you guys know, or you're pilots of some sort, you know that jet stream, you'll have the stream of air above the atmosphere that flows 200 plus miles an hour at times, right? And if you're an airline pilot and you can step into that narrow current of air, you can like literally save hours of time if you're flying any great distance. And not only that, but sometimes it's been recorded that aircraft can fly almost the speed of sound, right, inside of that jet stream. And so what I want to say today is that God is calling us to get into his flow. And when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our ministries, when it comes to our jobs, when it comes to our devotional life, when it comes to our family life, when it comes to getting into the flow here at church, God wants you to experience his jet stream. And I believe that this morning he's calling us to that. He's calling us to get in sync with him. He's calling us to get in the current of his spirit that propels us to really take off. And I don't know about y'all, but man, I know that there's challenges. I think some of us here this morning feel like we're swimming upstream. We feel as though that we're not where we should be. We feel as though we're just swimming against the current. Maybe in a dark place. And so these three stories, and these two stories that I cut my teeth on, right? I mean, early, this goes back 20 years in the ministry, right? When I was youth pastoring at this traditional church. These are like two of the very first messages I ever preached. I'll give you a condensed version of that, right? And the first story is here. It's Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. This is the first one of the three, and they're all short. I'll keep them short. You'll be out of here just in time, right? Bengals are playing at 1, so this welcome party back is going to be real short. I know. I've got a DVR. We'll be okay. You'll be all right. Matthew chapter 9, 17. Here's what it says. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. So here's the issue with this. The issue is that when you hold on to the old, this is what Jesus is trying to address. Jesus spoke this and is sharing this. And the issue he's trying to bring out with this example of new wine and wineskins, and we'll talk about it for a second. But the issue he's trying to bring to the people's attention is this, is that when you hold on to the old, you are unable to grasp the new. Right on, Ryan, right? When you hang on to the old, you are unable to grasp the new. And here's what I want to say about this. God wants to give us a new thing. In the scriptures, it talks about his mercies are new every morning, does it not? God says this, he brings us into this idea of being a new creation, right? This whole newness and this freshness of his spirit is something that God is calling us to. And the Lord wants us to be in a place where we are able to contain what God wants to pour into us. This involves us being willing to change. Change. Look at the old wineskin. The old wineskin cannot contain the new wine. And so here's what they did back in the day, right? There was these goat skins, and they would take the goat skins, and that's what they held wine with. They didn't have bottles of wine then. They had wine skins. And these wine skins, they would put the grape or the juice, the juice into the wineskin, and in that wineskin there was a fermentation process, right? And the violence of that process and how that all worked, right, expanded the skin in such a way that those skins could not be reusable. If you did try to reuse the skin, The same fermentation process that took place the first time would take place the second time with new wine being poured into the old skin, and the old skin would burst. It could not contain the new wine. So here's what Jesus is saying. If we want to be in his flow, he's calling us to be able to contain the new wine. When we receive that new thing that God wants to do in us and through us, we have to be able to contain it. In Jesus' day, the religious folks, they were like old wineskins. They were so bent up on the traditional ways that they were unable to receive anything new. So Jesus is preaching. He's preaching and speaking to the religious. He's preaching and speaking to you and I. And he's saying to us, don't be like the old wineskins. Be willing to open yourselves up to something new. Something that will grow and expand. Something that you can contain. And I've grown up in churches, quite frankly, in the 45 years of growing up in the church, right? And I've seen the old wineskin. Many of you have seen and experienced the old wineskin too, right? And what's interesting is, I've shared this with the first service, what's interesting is that I never thought that we would be at a place where I'd be sharing these kinds of messages. It's funny how it comes full circle, comes back around. And I don't say this in a judgmental way or a condemning way, or God is blessing this church in ways. Just thinking about while I was gone, what the recovery groups did in sponsoring that Saturday night, that Saturday deal. Was that awesome or what? Huh? Where all the where our recovery church had the big deal out back here in the parking lot. And man, I don't know if you know it or not, but incognito, I showed up. Had my shades on, and some people noticed me. But I was here. Couldn't resist it. I was here. Beth's like, where were you? I said, I can't tell. Right? So here's the truth. The truth is that God is moving us. And what I want to say to you, at this particular point in our church place, God wants to continue to move us. And it's important for us to be willing to adapt and willing to open ourselves up in such a way where we're willing to receive the new thing that God wants to pour into us. Does that make sense here today? Right? And not only am I speaking in terms of the church, but I'm speaking to you personally. God wants to disrupt your patterns. God wants to pour something new in you. And if you're nothing but an old wineskin, you're not going to be able to contain, you're not going to be willing to contain what God wants to do. Second story is this. Is about John 21, all right? So let's look at this. In John chapter 21, Simon Peter said, he said, I am going fishing, all right? And so the other guy said, yeah, you know what, we'll go too. And they reached this point where, you know, evidently it was before, they reached this point where they just, I think they were a little bit distraught, a little bit discouraged maybe, and they just wanted to take a break from what they were doing, and nothing wrong with that. It was good. They went fishing, right? And there they were on this fishing boat, right? And at dawn, Jesus was there at the beach, and he was looking at the disciples, and the disciples couldn't see who he was. Jesus was on the bank. They were in the boat, and he called out. He says, fellas, have you caught any fish? And they still weren't quite sure who the man was on the bank. It was Jesus. They didn't know that. And they replied to the man, no, we have not. We've not caught anything. Matter of fact, all night long. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a very impatient fisherman, right? If I'm not catching fish, I want to move to the next place. Matter of fact, the best fishing trips I've ever been on, Tyne and I went on one, and we had the best time. We had a guide to help us because we wanted to catch fish, you know, and we did that. And it was fun. And so they weren't catching fish. So Jesus was on the bank, and he says this. Here's what he said to them. He says, throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did. and they couldn't haul it in the net because there were so many fish in it. Guys, here's what's cool about this story, is that the disciples had a way in which they were doing this. They were career fishermen. So they knew what they were doing. They thought they knew what they were doing, right? They had all their stuff. All their stuff was set up in such a way where you know, organized. All their tackle was in place. And there was a way in which they did their deal. And everything was structured. It was organized in just the right way so that they could fish. And they fished on the let's say the left side of the boat. And there they were. They were fishing. And nothing was happening. Nothing was going on. And Jesus says to them, cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and then you'll catch some fish. So I'm sure it was a little bit of a disruption. They had to rearrange some things in their boat. They had to move the tackle around in such a way and pull the nets in. And I could see them stumbling over each other, and they were getting a little bit frustrated maybe. You know what I mean? I mean, when your boxes are out of row and out of sync, don't you get a little frustrated at times? And I'm sure that they were frustrated. And there was more to this than what meets the eye. But they did indeed cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And when they cast their nets on the right side of the boat, something happened. They began then to get into the flow. The fish filled their nets. And I'm saying all this to you all in this way. Personally, I believe that the Lord wants to disrupt you at times because he's got something else in mind. And I believe that he wants to disrupt you in such a way where you have to change your natural rhythm. You have to change the way we've always done it, folks. Come on now. Because it's a way in which he can show you how to trust him more. So they cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And they begin to catch multitudes of fish. Here's what I want to say to you personally, also corporately. There's certain ways that we do things here. We've done them like this now for years. We've been in this building for 4.5, 5 years, something like that, maybe over 5. Here's the deal. I believe that God is calling us to do some things differently. And so what's interesting is while I was gone, there was more, I think, in visiting other places and doing different things, there was more, I was more or less affirmed in what I believe, as opposed to many of you maybe praying, oh God, while Ryan's gone, just change him, change his mind, change his direction, Lord, change him. And I hate to bring the bad news to y'all, but man, the Lord just kind of spoke to me and doubled down on me and said, listen, those things that I spoke to you early on are the things that I want you to carry out now. I want you to be attentive to the hurting, the dying, the empty, and the lost. I want you to be attentive to the unchurched and the out of church. Folks, time is drawing near. And God is calling us, man, to adjust. He's calling us to get our boxes out of the row. He's calling us to rearrange our tackle and do something, be willing to do some things different. And some of y'all are saying, oh my gosh, Ryan, what are you talking about? I don't know exactly. That's going to drive you even crazier. Because y'all are different than me. I like have these ideas, you know, I have a concept, and Jackson and Brian Reinecke are like, well, tell us specifically what you want, you know? And I don't know what I want. All I know is God's doing something different. I'm picking on him, but there's some truth to that, isn't there, Jackson, a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. We love each other. Here's what I'm saying to us is let's just commit to having a pliable heart. You know, having a heart that's willing to, if we get it wrong, let's talk about it at work. Let's fail forward, man. Let's be reckless in pursuing the flow of God. Let's look. He'll gently correct us. He'll pull us back in. But I'm telling you, when we step into His flow, when we're obedient to Him, and when we're willing to try things, even when things don't make sense. I'm sorry, but if I'm on the boat, there's a part of me that would say, look, I don't know who you are on the bank, but I fished this way for 20 years, and I don't need you out there telling me how to fish. And truthfully, I've grown up in churches. That's what they say. God is calling us, man, to be willing to, even when it doesn't make sense, let's try it. And let's fail as God calls us out. Even if we have to fail forward, let's do what we can to try to step into His flow, into his jet stream, and see what God will do. The last story was, and by the way, those two stories were, those are 20-year-old stories that just kind of resonated with me early on in the ministry. The third story here came just 2 weeks ago. And actually, by the way, I want to say this. Sometimes I don't say this enough. I am really, really encouraged at what some of our churches in the Dayton area are doing. Very much so. We went to the Beaver Creek Church in Nass, and man, it's a different group, different crowd. I was very, very excited to see what they're doing. I was very excited to see what Southbrook's doing. Folks, we got a lot out of that. Pastor Charlie, And you know, from up front, even here this morning, I think it's good, man, to share the stories. We come from abundance. You know what I mean? If God's not calling you here, and if He's not calling you to plug in here, come and see me, because I can show you four or five churches out there that God is moving in an incredible way. And it was encouraging to me to hear and see what we saw. There's a word that Pastor Charlie shared 2 weeks ago on the 23rd, I believe it was, Beth, but it was the 23rd, the message on the 23rd, and it's a Greek word, and the Greek word, this is what it is, it's I'll try to get it right, Ashton, it's dikaiosune, that's the word. And here's how we pronounce it. Here's how you pronounce it, all right? When you see the first part, the Dick, you look at and you think of the old Dick Tracy. You guys remember that? It's before many of y'all's time. Maybe not. Not some of us, but some of the younger ones, right? And that's Dick Tracy. And I mean, Dick Tracy was the man, right? It was Scott Scarborough was talking about it yesterday, how it was his in the old Dayton Journal, that comic was his favorite. And Dick Tracy, I mean, literally was way ahead of his time. I mean, this cat had an Apple Watch before anyone knew what an Apple Watch was, right? So when you see this word, you think of Dick Tracy, right? And then you think of I. You see an I, right? So you think of Dick Tracy, you think of I, and then you think of O. I just have to get this in, right? Sorry, I don't know where that shakes out with you, but, you know, God bless y'all, right? You know, I wasn't here to really, you know, lift everyone's spirits with the Penn State game, and then last night, man, 455 yards, old Haskin, never mind, it's another story, but oh, right? O-H-I-O, you guys, O-H-I-O, there we go, okay. So that's how you pronounce that word, dikaiosune, right? And so here we go. And what this word means is it's really a word that means so much more than what we use. We use the word righteousness. You see the word righteousness, it's really referring to this word in the Greek, right? And in the Greek, in the broader sense, it's a state it's a state of being in the right condition, the state of being righteousness. And God impugns within each of us, gives us an opportunity to impugn his righteousness in us. So it's this act, this state of becoming righteous with God. And righteous, when you say that, a lot of people get all bent out on all that. But here's what it means, man. The righteousness of God is when you become in sync with him. When you receive of his integrity and his virtues, and you receive of his righteousness and his correctness, and you just click into the narrow sense of God's justice and virtue that he impugns within each one of us, setting us apart from this world. My friends, when you allow yourself to experience the dikai ousine, you become one with God in such a way where you step into the flow of God. And it's not just a flow. It is a jet stream that propels you to experience what Jesus calls abundant life. If you're here with me, you could just say, right on, Ryan, because I need help. Right? Man, I'm telling you, this is for real. And I see all of us at times struggling. And I struggle. I had a couple meltdowns this week, right? I mean, we all struggle. We all go through seasons of this struggle, right? And I'm just saying to us, to all of us, that if we could step into the flow of God, remember that he is here not to work against us. He's here to help us to come with him and allow us to be taken up and carried away with his jet stream, with his flow. And not only this morning do I pray all of that for you, I pray it all for the church. I pray that God speaks to us and calls us to what he's calling us to in this Matthew chapter 5:17, because it's got dikai ousine all over this passage, right? And what you see, and I'm closing this out, but what you see is this. It says, Jesus starts out and he's speaking to the hurting, the dying, the empty, and the lost. He's speaking to the unchurched, to the out of church. And here's what he's saying to them. He's saying, don't misunderstand why I have come. See, he has come to make life easier for us. He has come to take us away, to take us through whatever it is that we're going through, to reveal himself to us, to come into the right relationship with us. He's calling us to his purpose, to his plan, to his way, to his will. He's calling us to move and to follow him and allow his spirit to come and help us with whatever it is that we're dealing with. And so he's speaking to them, saying, don't misunderstand why I've come. I have a purpose, basically. He walks through. That purpose is he's calling us to the kingdom of heaven. That's what this is. The kingdom of heaven, the here and the now. He's calling us to experience that here and now. And then he says this, and I believe it's verse 20. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying here? He's saying, the righteousness that I'm talking about is different than what you're seeing from the religious big shots. It's different than what you're seeing from the religious church, from the religious people. What I am calling you to is something better and something more. It's this idea of being caught up with me and allowing me to impugn that righteousness within each one of us. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Folks, that's heavy, heavy stuff. And he said that right in front of all the church people. The church people were all up in arms about it. They were offended by it. Because when Jesus came, he did not come, right, to put new wine in old wineskins. He did not come to have us to always fish on the wrong side of the boat. Jesus came to pick us up and to propel us and to move us to a new place with him. So this morning I really felt compelled to share these three little stories Because I believe that we're not like the religious. And I think it's timely for me to hear this. And for me, look, whenever I get up and share a message, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. God knows my heart here. I'm not lying. You know, this is awkward for me to share some of this, right? But here's the truth. I would rather not be comfortable, or I want to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You guys here with me? Right? I don't want to get caught up in this idea that we're more interested in keeping things the way we like it because it's a path of least resistance. I don't want to get caught up in this idea that everyone, you know, that we're unwilling to make shifts or changes. I want our inside to look as good as our outside. And I want us to be willing to do whatever it is that God is asking us to do. Wouldn't you like to be filled this morning with the kingdom of God? To be caught up in Him? To let every part of your being receive of Him? And just be willing to do whatever it is that He's calling you to do. He's calling you to get carried away with Him in His flow. He wants you to allow Him to come into you and to fill you with His movement and His momentum. God is calling you into that this morning. I believe this morning He's calling us as a church into this. I believe He is. And some of us would say, well, Ryan, how in the world do we do that? Let's look at this in close and then we'll pray. Mark chapter 5, 22 and 23, we see a story here. And in the story, we see Jairus. He was a leader in the synagogue. And he reached a point where he was tired of swimming upstream. And he needed God to intervene in his life because his daughter had died. And in verse 22, it says that the leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he was pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, right? Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live. Jairus wanted to see something new, folks. And by the way, this just happened after Jesus' teaching of the wineskin. And Jairus did not, Jairus wanted to receive of that new spirit. He wanted to see God work in a new way, right? So this is what he did. He entered into the presence of God. We see that in verse 22. He arrived. He went there and he arrived. And Jairus saw Jesus. He entered into the presence of God. The second thing that he did was that he humbled himself before God. He fell at his feet. Fell at Jesus' feet. And the third thing he did is that he was open with the Lord, allowing the Lord to speak to the dark areas of his life, allowing the Lord to know what he was dealing with. And I believe that when we pull ourselves into that, when we allow ourselves to go there, God begins to move and sweep us away. And look what happened in Mark chapter 5, 22. You read that passage this week and look at it. And you look at what happened to Jairus and his family. For you this morning, I want to call y'all, man, to be in the pray and get into the presence of God. Humble yourselves before God. Be open with the Lord and allow Him to move you wherever it is that God wants you to go. Let's all stand. Father God, help us, Lord, today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be back. And thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of such a wonderful, wonderful people. Lord, I love these people. And I thank you for them. I thank you for all that they've done for me, the blessing that I have in just being in the role that I'm in. I thank you for how they've honored me and my family. And Lord, this morning I want to honor them. And I want to do whatever I can and try to communicate a message that would help them to get in the flow. To help them to see that there's a better way, that they don't always have to swim up current or feel like life is difficult and hard. I want this morning every one of us to walk out holding dearly to the promise that, Lord, you did not come just to give us life, but you came to give us abundant life. Life that will help us, carry us, propel us, and move us in ways that we never thought that we could be moved. I pray, oh God, for momentum and movement. I pray that you would propel us to be all that you've called us to be. This morning, if you're struggling, there's a prayer on the board, or on the screen here this morning. I encourage you just to pray this prayer with me. Lord, if you're struggling this morning and you need God to help you get in his flow, to get in sync with him, if you this morning have been walking outside of him, pray with me. Lord, right now I come into your presence choosing to believe that you sent your son Jesus to offer me a better way. Pray that. Pray with me here. This morning I invite you to be present with us. Be present with me. Reveal within me the lies and deception that I've believed. As I seek to receive your truth, God help me. Lord, I humble myself before you, and I realize that my answers have led me away from you and to a place that has made my life more difficult. My answers, my choices. God, forgive us. Help us to step into your way. Lord, I open myself to you and I ask for you to speak to my need now and this week. I choose to follow you. I choose blessing and peace. I choose help. I choose supernatural favor. I choose your flow, your jet stream. I choose, God, you to help propel me through whatever it is that I'm going through. And Lord, as we pray this morning, I also pray this for the life of this church. I pray that you, God, would just help us, God, to step into that flow, into where you would have us to go and what you would have us to be, and help us to feel you propelling us as a church to move to new heights, to start and plant new churches, to continue to grow small in a really big way, God. I pray for the Recovery Church that meets on Tuesday night. I pray for the Gamer Church that meets on Saturdays, Lord. I pray, God, for the Martial Arts Church, as crazy as that sounds, it's starting up with Jason Stamm working with kids and helping them, giving them confidence and sharing the gospel and doing what he's doing here at this location. God, bless him, I pray, in what he's up to. Lord, I know that in the days and months to come that you are going to move us and help us to see incredible things in the life and times of the Shelter community. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.